There we go.
It's no pressure or anything, right, with this part.
Whew. I know, whenever I think of Jesus, I will think of you.
Yeah, it's a big one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful, though. What a beautiful, a miracle.
What were the circumstances of you getting this part? I know you worked with Kevin many years ago, Robin.
Many years ago. It was confusing. I mean, it's like, it was a random email, and it was like some indie production, Malta. It's like, oh, this doesn't sound good. I didn't know what it was about, but for something in my head said, just answer the email. Okay, because I never do that. I usually like bat it off, saying, oh, one of these things have come, can you handle this? But for some reason I took the email myself and I got an email reply, and then I don't know what it is. They wouldn't tell me what it was, really.
Is this a project?
Yeah, I was like, a project, what is it? And I got to, and I thought, I'll take a phone call, why not? Took the phone call with Patrick, and it was like, he broke it all down for me, and he goes, and you know, it's a very significant role, and I was like, okay, all right, here it comes. They want me to be a terrorist or something. Like, we want you to be Jesus. I was like, what was that? Just like, say, come again. It's like, yeah, it was like, I couldn't. It was the really bizarre feeling, because I grew up a very devout Catholic. And I was an altar boy. I served Mass 7 times a day, early morning Mass for the truly devout. And during Easter I'd serve 2x a day, because you do the early morning service and then you do the Lent. So so Jesus was my first superhero. And I was, you know, my father was very worried that I was going to actually become a priest. That didn't happen. When I became an actor, it became sort of like this running joke for many, many years, a personal joke of mine, because people would ask me, you know, what role would you really like to play? And I would say, Jesus. And I'd have a little chuckle and stuff. That's never going to happen. I don't have blue eyes. You know, I was like, but yeah. And then so when this happened, it was pretty miraculous for me.
How soon did you say yes?
When I realized it was legitimate, I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then I sort of pursued it when I realized it was actually for real. I wanted the opportunity. I thought it was amazing. And then when I read the script as well.
We spoke to Joe and we spoke to the producers, and they were telling us about you not speaking to Joe or anyone, staying away from everyone until it was time to meet them. Your idea or what?
My idea. Well, it came down to this. It's like, so, okay, cool. I got the role. I'm going to be Jesus. Huh, what do you do with that? I mean, really, where do you start? Is that, okay, I need a strategy here. Are you guys crazy? Do you know my work? What about me? What about my work suggests that I'm correct, that I'm right for the role? I'm certainly the wrong age. You know, he was crucified in his early 30s. I'm in my later 40s. You know, it's like...
But you don't look it.
They said, don't worry about it. You looked older at that age. You know, don't worry. Those times. I was like, what are these people on? What's going on here? I was just checking that they weren't like, sometimes in Hollywood they do this thing where they, I don't know what you call it, they kite fly, where they kind of set you up. They sort of dangle the offer over here because they're really going out to Jim Caviezel to reprise the role. You know what I mean? And they sort of dangle it, and I'm sort of like waiting. It's like, is this real? You sort of sit there waiting for them, guys. Oh man, we just can't make it work, you know. We've got Johnny Depp for the role. You know, something like that. It happens. It really does happen. It's real. And you think, I've got the role of a lifetime. I've got this role. And it's like, but anyway, it didn't happen. Then I had to sort of think, wow, now I've got the role. What am I going to do? And so when I asked them, why? Why me? What is it you want? What are you expecting from me? If you know my words, we want a real guy. We want a guy, a real Jesus, our interpretation. Because it's an interpretation. I'm not really Jesus, by the way.
Thank you.
This is just a movie. We all know what we're doing here. Yes, this is not the word of God. This is the interpretation of. It's a movie. So, and they said, we want a guy who feels real. We want our Jesus to feel real, like he walked this earth. And I said, I can do that. I can be real. I can be a real man who walked the earth. That I can do. And I was also a builder, so I was like, I can do that. I hung out with smelly people like fishermen. I can do that. You know, I was like, those are my people. Those are my chosen. you know, I'm not educated, I'm not, you know, I'm not highfalutin, I'm not fancy. I was like, I can bring my interpretation of a real Jesus. That's one, that gave me a sense of hope that I could actually possibly do it, because interpretation become mine, ours. Secondly, I thought, well, ego has got to be put aside because I'm in service of something quite divine.
Sure.
And so, if you've noticed, I talk quite a lot. I don't mind talking. And quite often I talk about a whole lot of nothing. And that just will not do. So it's like, that's the first thing. I had to set my ego aside and be of service to the movie, to the role, and to the devout, that in fact worship this divine being. And I had to be very respectful of that, and thought the first thing I can do is just shut up. Just stop talking so much. Because I thought, well, if Jesus spoke, he only spoke the word of God. And who am I to speak those words? Who am I? I must be in service of that. And there's a very clear distinction. I am not Jesus, but I am in service of this divine being and of these words. And so I wanted to minimize any ill effect, any of myself being imposed on the role, because it should not be me. It should be me in service of something greater. What was the third thing? I did a bunch of different things. And then, so the obvious thing was to be silent. So I took a vow of silence. I lived monastically for approximately a month in preparation in Malta, on my own, preparing my own meals and speaking to no one. Except for, you know, no one on set, no one. I had responsibilities to my family. I had to organize those sort of things. But that was allocated time. But the rest of the time, silent. That was beautiful.
And
really.
Do you think it really brought, did it help you bring something to the role when you met them, when you finally meet with Joe on camera?
I hope so. I haven't seen the scene. I don't know what the impact or the effect of it.
It's really good. And I didn't know that story before, that you hadn't spoken with him, hadn't met with him.
Well, the thing is, I really stayed away from him.
Yeah.
And I don't... We just did it organically. There was no discussion about it. We just did it organically. We just looked at each other and was like...
It works.
I ain't going there. But the director did ask me, because I spent a lot of time on set like this. Hours and hours and hours, like, you know, like
tough work.
Yeah,
that's
how
good.
Did you physically prepare for that crossing, for the actual crucifixion? Because I read that you were actually hanging on the cross for several
silence. I really had to sort of drop into sort of like a beta state, really, just really into deep meditation. So I meditated for hours and hours every day, all on set. And silence, it was really what it was. I had to go through the mechanical process of climbing up onto the cross. And then when I climbed down off the cross, I would sit fine on a little perch and I'd just be quiet and silent. I did have to engage with the... and that's really it. I mean, really, really. And then to just connect with a divine, something that's not me. Because I certainly can't be Christ. That's just... That would be a bad idea. But I can open to the possibility of the divine being present and being of service to that.
I was just going to ask, well, do you mind if I ask the Walking Dead question? Just to change the subject. But back to zombies anyway, you know, in a way.
They come back from the dead.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Any little tidbits to the next season?
It is incredibly exciting.
Are you fun? Is it exciting to be in this kind of world? This
I am surprised how excited. Genre is not really my thing, but they are really turning it up a notch. You know, I don't know if you saw the first season, it was like the slow burn. Not anymore.
When was this film shot in comparison to the first season?
I can't remember. It's sort of a bit of a blur, because I did another film before this. I'll do my own plug, called The Dark Horse, and my role was Genesis. My last movie was Genesis, then I played Jesus, and Jesus is coming up before Genesis. So how about that? Wrap your head around that one. And then I did the TV show. So the TV show, in my world, okay, there's this TV show, but in my world it was Genesis and Jesus and then the TV show. So I was like, yeah. But no, we're having a phenomenal time. I'm really excited about the season. It's going to, people, the audience that likes the show, it's gonna dig. You didn't really know first season what the response was gonna be. It was pretty good, but I'm, from what we're putting out, I'm a little optimistic about how I think it's going to go down the second season. It's really, really exciting. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
In the water.
I don't know. Oh, that's right. I don't know if you've read World War Z or not, that book. But the zombies can live under the water, and they climb up. Like, if you're anchored, they will climb up. Yeah.
That's gross.
That's in that book. I don't know if it's going to happen in your thing, but I'm just saying.
Live Free or Die Hard has become a desert island movie for me.
Ah.
It's a great film.
Thank you.
This was terrific, too.
Yes.
A photo.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
It's just a selfie for the fans.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Blessings.
Yes. Thank you.